We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now let me welcome on to the A10 Insider Podcast here on the Field of 68 Media Network. None other than Matt Cross, the star of the UMass basketball program. Matt, what's going on, man? It's good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's good to see you too.
Before we get started on everything happening this season, give me a quick smile there. All right. So for the people listening at home, he is missing a tooth. Walk me through what happened to that missing tooth.
Yeah, so we played at Dayton, and you know, a big name everyone knows, Daron Holmes over there. He was driving to the hoop, and when he like stuck out his elbow to dunk, I kind of went up to try to contest it or whatever, and then just the whole tooth came out, which I actually didn't even know it came out at first. I kind of just like thought I got hit in the mouth until one of the assistants in the next media timeout was like, "Oh, I got Matt's tooth." I was like, "Oh."
You didn't know that you had a missing tooth until one of the coaches came up and was like, "Hey, man, you dropped your tooth."
Yeah, exactly. In the media timeout, the coach was like, "Oh," to our trainer. He was like, "I got Matt's tooth." Then I put like my tongue right there, and I was like, "Oh yeah, no, it's definitely gone."
Is that the first time you had a tooth knocked out in a game?
Yeah, I think so. I've had one like knocked back, but I don't think anyone's ever came completely out.
What do you like? What's the next step there? Are you just going to play the whole season without a tooth? I'll be honest. Like you look like a hockey player. You look kind of tough. There's like an intimidation factor. I feel like you should lean into this.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm going to leave it in for the rest of the season for sure. I think I get it probably fixed like in April.
All right. Well, make sure you use your school insurance or the UMass basketball insurance through that, because fixing teeth is not cheap, man. I will tell you.
No, I just figured that out as I was going through the process of them taking it out. I was like, sheesh.
Yeah, you know what? You need to get that dentist to give you an NIL deal for how good it is. Show them how good your teeth are.
Exactly. <It's done.
laughs> All right, let's talk about the season you're having. It's the best season of your college basketball career. You're averaging 15 points. You're averaging 8 boards. You're averaging more than 3 assists. That three-point shooting numbers come down to just under 34%, man. We got to get that thing back up. We got to get that right. But you are looking every bit the part of the guy that was the 4-star prospect coming out of high school. What's happened this season? Why is it working so well for you?
I think just, you know, finally being at a place for more than 1 year, you kind of build a home and you get comfortable for once instead of kind of playing on eggshells all the time. And, you know, building a relationship with a coaching staff where – you go through a year with them, like Frank, and you kind of build trust. You go through a year with them, through the goods and the bads, and you stay. You kind of build trust with the coach and same way for the rest of the staff, assistants and stuff. So I think it's just, you know, building a relationship with the coaches, finding a home, getting settled down, and then just finally comfortable enough to kind of play my game, I guess. And then, you know, the coaches recruited a great recruiting class this year. You know, everyone going into the season was like, "Oh, they're really young. Like, who knows how they're going to do?" But, you know, Frank's about recruiting guys. He doesn't care young or old that are going to buy into what he's doing and his type of guys and guys that like he wants. So, and I think he did that. And it just shows this year with this team, between even our losses, you know, it's coming down to one or two baskets every time.
Yeah, it's, I don't think people are going to be surprised when I say that you've had a little bit of a nomadic basketball career. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but I think it would have, again, probably been kind of easy for you if you had made the decision to leave. I don't think anyone would have batted an eye at it, right? I think you guys struggled down the stretch, got smacked in the A-10 tournament. A bunch of guys that were on the team last year transferred. All of a sudden, all these new faces coming in. Like that's the situation where a lot of guys would have looked at it and said, okay, I averaged 12 a game last year. Maybe I can go out and find a high major or something like that, or a bigger program, an ACC school, Big East school. And you didn't, you stuck it out. And is that just because of that relationship that you built? What went into that decision-making process?
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I think what went into it is just the relationship I've built with Frank and the coaching staff. It's not easy to find. It's not really a player or coach's fault. It's just personality thing. Not every you might think you like a place or a guy on the recruiting pitch and the visit, but your personalities might not go together. Like nothing bad can happen. You just might be like, I don't know. I just like can't the way he coaches. I can't like figure it out, whatever. And I just think Frank is like the perfect fit for me. I think that the relationship I built with him, even before this, when I was in high school, he recruited me when he was at South Carolina, and I took an official visit there. And kind of the relationship he has with a guy who kind of like has helped me throughout all this process is Leo Papillo, who I played high school basketball with. And the relationship that him and Frank had, me and Leo were like this. And when Leo talks highly of someone and says like he's your type of guy, like I take that like serious. So I think me and Frank have the relationship we built, and then obviously just the I think our personalities just go together.
And can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I think from the outside, and I've said this a lot, and I told this to you before we hit record, I think there are a lot of people that will look at Frank Martin and know what his reputation is and see him on the sidelines and see this big, intense dude and say, like, there's no way a player could have a good relationship with that guy. And obviously, you have a great relationship with him. If you talk to guys that played for him at Kansas State or that played for him at South Carolina or played for him even back to the Northeastern days, they all have great relationships with him. Can you just why is that, and who is he as a person and not just a coach?
Yeah, no, I think the best thing about him is that him on the court and off the court are completely different people. And that's kind of similar to how I am. Like on the court, everything you see is just because of how competitive he is, how much he wants to win. That's the same how I am on the court. Like people want to say like, oh, like he yells a lot, this and that, or even me, like, Dan, you're so hard on yourself in the game. Like you like are aggressive, whatever it is. Like you would think a lot of people think like that's probably how like or portray a personality on them off the court and what they think they are based on that. And it's like Frank, just like me, is like the opposite. Like off the court, he's goofy. He's laughing with us. He tells stories. I mean, I've been at three schools now in college, and I haven't seen this might be the first time I've ever seen an open door policy for the head coach in the office. Like that thing's wide open. He actually like pushes people to come in. He wants to talk, like not even necessarily about basketball, just to like talk about life or whatever it is. And he's good with getting to know families and like keeping that whole relationship too, not just professional, as it's seen a lot nowadays in the college basketball world. It's more professional relationships than it is like personal.
The thing I love the most about what you've been able to do this season, Matt, is that you kind of had a rep, and fair or unfair, but you kind of had a rep of just being a guy that was a shooter when you were at Miami and then when you were at Louisville, right? And now you're coming out this year, you just set the school record for steals in a game. You're playing without a tooth because, like, why not play without a tooth, right? You're averaging three assists a game, and you're having one of the poor 3-point shooting seasons of your career. You've shown that you are not just the guy to stand in the corner and space the floor and fire them up to let somebody else make a play. So was that something that you thought would be possible when you committed? Like, is that part of why you said, you know what, I'm going to stay because this is where I can flourish?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, definitely. That was a big reason. That was a big reason why I came to UMass in general, just because, you know, I haven't been able to do it since high school. And, you know, everybody says that. And like, oh, I used to be able to do this in high school, this and that. And it's like, can't really use that because it's like we're at a bigger level now. So obviously you're not going to do what you used to do in high school. But just being able to not sit in the corner and shoot threes like a lot of coaches saw me as the role that they were bringing in to do. Frank kind of gave me the pitch, and he even gave me the pitch out of high school. He was one of the only coaches that did it. He was just like, I don't see you as just a 3-point shooter. Like, I see you like you, your best asset being, you know, inside out, finding mismatches, whether there's a smaller winger guard on you, bring it down low, or there's a bigger guy on you, being able to space the floor. And I think that's just like kind of my game where I'm at my best, because I kind of play off instincts. So like when you shooters, everyone knows with shooters, like if that's your role, you're streaky. You can't really be consistent because you're hot and cold. You're kind of just there. Like, you're not really fully involved in everything. And I feel like Frank's found a way and to develop my game where I'm always involved. If I'm not scoring, like hitting someone on a screen, being able to rebound, having that freedom to make those decisions, I think Frank's developed my game a lot.
I do like that he's figured out that, hey, you know what, Matt Cross likes to hit people on screens. Maybe we should let him do that. I do want to talk a little bit about your high school career, because you mentioned that the last time that you were, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that you were on the same team for two straight years was you won a state title as an eighth grader at St. Mary's, and you came back and took that team to the state finals as a ninth grader. Before we talk about that, you were on the high school team as an eighth grader? Is that?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah, so St. Mary's was like one of those schools. It was weird, like not really a lot to have them, but like the middle school and the high school was like connected. Mm-hmm. And they allowed, like, if the coach wanted, like if a middle schooler, like if the coach wanted him or thought he was good enough, whatever, they allowed you to be in middle school and play on the high school team.
And so you did. Were you good when you were, like, were you scoring points, starting?
Yeah, I started. I wouldn't say I was our main scorer, but like, yeah, no, I started.
Started as an eighth grader on a high school state title team. That's pretty impressive. So talk me through your journey. You're at St. Mary's. You make it to back-to-back state finals. You are just finishing your freshman season, and that's kind of when the nomadic existence begins. Take me through how you ended up at UMass and kind of that path and that journey.
Yeah, so after St. Mary's, because St. Mary's is kind of like a – you know, it's not a public school, but it's like that public school vibe. It's not like, it's decent talent, but it's not amazing. So like when I wanted to start playing at a higher level consistently, you know, and because that's that time period when kids are starting to look for like, where's somewhere I can go that college coaches go to watch so I can get looks. So that's where the prep school thing came up. And so I went to Cushing Academy first, actually. And after 1 year there, I just like had a great AU season too. And then kind of just like went up from there. A lot of the older guys that I was with at Cushing left. So that's when I just wanted to keep going up and up. So that's when I joined Tony Bergeron at Woodstock Academy. And then I loved Woodstock. I loved Tony. I loved the team. Would have stayed there. Tony ended up moving up a level. He got the assistant coach job at UMass. And I was the only junior on the team. The rest of the team were post-grads and seniors. So it was a whole new staff, whole new coaches, whole new players coming in. So I'm like, I loved it there, but not going to stay here and play for a coach that I didn't talk to, or a team that I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on here. And they don't even have a prep team anymore. But that's when I was like, all right, like I need to figure out where to go for my last year. And I wanted to stay because there was like, you know, like someone like IMG reached out and stuff like that. But I wanted to stay somewhat local in New England for my last high school season, you know, sort of parents and family could watch and stuff like that. And that's when Jason Smith at Brewster came to a lot of my games and reached out. And then that's kind of where I thought that was the best option. Loved Brewster. It was good. Graduated from there. And yeah, that's kind of how the high school journey went.
Mm-hmm. So Woodstock just kind of, it was gone, right? Like the thing that's in, I don't know if interesting is the right word, but I do feel like a lot of these moves that you've made have just kind of been situational more than you being like, hey, you know what? I don't like it here. Hey, I hate this place. Hey, I don't want to, this is not me. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no team there for you to play for. It's kind of hard to keep playing for that team.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of like been the thing. Cause you know, when you move around a lot, you get a stick like, oh, like he must be like a bad dude, whatever. And that's kind of been like a thing that's been like, cause I don't really have the air to explain it ever. But that's like you said, it's been like Woodstock, coaching staff, team gone. Louisville, coach fired, team gone, coaching staff gone. Like St. Mary's left just because going from a public, want to play higher to play in front of college coaches. So it's kind of like you said, it's been situational. So it sucks to have that like stickler sometimes, like, oh, like he's a bad dude or something.
Do you feel that? Like, do you feel that people have that you have a rep because of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I think that's been a big thing. And I've even heard like multiple people, like rumors have come up to me about stuff from that. I'm just like, there's nothing I can do about it though. But yeah, no, I definitely feel it.
Are there people that would be surprised to see you kind of playing the role that you're playing, a leadership role, 10 new faces, a whole bunch of freshmen on the team? That is, what are you, 17-9 now, 8-6 in the A-10? Yep. Are there people that, if I told them that, they would be surprised to hear it?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Especially, I mean, I even surprised myself, like trying to do the leadership role a little bit, because it's not really ever been my thing. Like, I don't have the personality for it. Sometimes I know I'm better with like leading by example with actions or something, but I'm not the best vocal leader. So, you know, it's definitely been a challenge, but it's the challenge that Frank and the coaching staff has, gave to me for the past 2 years. And I've definitely nowhere near perfect at it, because I've had some captains on my teams that are like much better job than I'm doing, but, definitely gotten much better at that role. And it's just, they've helped me kind of know, as I mean, you also mature as you get older and, mm-hmm. and you understand stuff too, but Frank and the coaching staff has also helped me a lot with it.
Vacation alert from the 3-row Jeep Grand Cherokee L. Mama and Papa want to go hiking. Los abuelos want to relax at the beach. And the kids want to go to the amusement park. With seating for up to 7, you and your loved ones can enjoy all these adventures and more. Jeep. There's only one. Visit Jeep.com to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yeah. So what's the next step for you individually, right? As you take your game to the next level, what are you looking to do here in the next, what do we got, like 3 weeks left of the regular season? How do you get your team in a position? How do you get yourself in a position where you can make a run at this A-10 tournament and see if you can cut down some nets?
Yeah, I think we, we just keep kind of keep the same thing that we're doing going. Like, you don't want to go into the end of the season. You know, when you get to the end of the season is where some teams break down or thrive. Like, there's no in between. Like, the middle of the season, you get some in between. There's like, got like, team wins, team loses. They get blown up by 20. They win by 20, ups and downs. Like, when you get to the end of the season is where you see the teams that break or they don't. And I think by not breaking is you don't get too high or too low with anything. You just kind of go into every game like it's a midseason regular game, and follow what the coaches are giving us in our game plan and our identity that we've built, and just keep building on top of that. I think that's the best thing you can do when you get this late into the game, late into the season. And then for me personally, to help the team, I think, you know, turn the ball over less. I've done a lot this year, and help the team by actually making a few shots or shooting the three ball, like you said, a little better this year, because, you know, some teams like to pack the lane, the lane against us. And, you know, that hurts the rest of my team and the rest of the guys when they do that, because I am turning down shots and teams are realizing that.
Yeah, we got to get you up above like 36, man. I need like a 5-for-7 night, man. You get a 5-for-7 yeah. night one of these nights here, and you're going to be back up in the high 30s instead of the low 30s. For me, it feels like there's a level of consistency that it can sometimes be tough for you guys to find, right? You go on the perfect example. You go on the road, you win at Richmond. They were in first place in the conference when you win there. Next game, you lose to LaSalle, who at the time was in last place in the conference. And then you turn around this week and you put up, I think it was 84 points on VCU, and you beat them at home by 20 something. So how do you find that level where we see what you guys can be when you're at your best? How do you avoid having some of those letdown spots? What's the key there?
I think just like, kind of like what I said before, staying with who we are and staying with the game plan, but not taking any team for granted. Like you said, like we went and beat Richmond, who was number one in the conference, and then we went to LaSalle, who at the time was last. So, you know, you can't go into Richmond all hyped up and prepared because they're the number one, and go into LaSalle like thinking we're going to beat them. Mm-hmm. And I think not necessarily that we do that, but I think sometimes you could tell, and Frank talks about it sometimes with us too, is the practices leading up. There might, like, we've actually been really good all season, but like something like that game, like the energy kind of changed. Like, you could tell going into LaSalle, the practices were, and even during the game, we did stuff we've never done, including myself, you know, getting aggravated, showing negative energy when we've been nothing but positive, and we could be down all season and made great runs and it didn't affect us. And I think that game just, for some reason, we got away from the team and got away from ourselves.
Yeah, it's a tough needle to thread, because I think on the one hand, you are always competing for something more than just one game. Right. Like, there's championships to be won. But on the other hand, there are times where I think that it's the rings culture that we've developed in the NBA, where if you're not winning titles and it doesn't matter, like, it's, you also got to celebrate big wins, man. Like, you went on the road to Richmond, number one team in the country. Like, you got to be able to enjoy that when you make that happen. All right. Last thing I got for you, then I'm going to let you go. The last time that we spoke, you told a story about how you borrowed a team bus on the way to just in high school to kind of help get your teammates to practice, right? Just borrowed the bus. Give me another tale from the early days of the Matt Cross basketball experience.
Another one. Let me think.
Nothing as good as borrowing the team bus.
No, that one's probably up there for sure. But maybe one time when I was playing for Leo, who I was just talking about a minute ago, with BABC, he has a dog that he always brings that's famous for that he never leaves his side. And I didn't even like know what was going on. I thought we were like the last game or whatever, and this is like a team like getting ready to warm up. I think it's for like the tournament in Florida at Walt Disney at the end of the year for the AU season. Every year it's like the big one with all the coaches. I'm like, teams are trying to warm up, and I'm like walking the dog on the court, on the main court, like taking him for a walk because Leo told me to or whatever. And the dog took a number two on the court, and I just, well, the teams are warming up. So I just kind of like am walking the dog off, pretending I didn't see it or whatever. And the people are like getting ready to play the game. Like, what is going on right now?
Dog poop on the court. Oh man, that was. I don't know if you saw. I think that happened the year that you were at Louisville at the end of the season. Now that I think about it, they had one of the dogs out there doing some like catching frisbee thing at one of the timeouts, and the dog ended up taking a dump on the court as well. So wherever you go, dogs poop on the court, man. It's Matt, it's been great to catch up. Do not get that tooth fixed until the end of the season, and make sure whenever you go up, you know, have the jump ball, shooting free throws, make sure to smile, scare them a little bit, use it to your
exactly.
You got the whole hockey player vibe with the shag and the goatee, so make sure you work it out, man. Matt, appreciate you being here. A10 Insider Podcast.